of Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 20. But before that, let me give this bit of an introduction. Paul is, at this time in his life, is on an all-expense-paid trip to Rome. How many of you would like to go on an all-expense-paid trip to Rome? Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is on. And his witness for the resurrection of Jesus Christ has offended the religious Jewish people in his area. And in their attempt to kill him, he has been saved, delivered, and put into the custody of Rome. Now he's instituted his right as a Roman citizen to appear before Caesar, and he's been granted that right. And so he's on his way in a leaky boat to a place called Rome to stand charges that he was resurrection against Caesar. They've obliged him. He's on his way. Now, showing us, I think, the extent to which the Lord wants to get the gospel both to the up and outer and to the down and outer. Sometimes we think of the down and outer needing the gospel. We think of the homeless on the street. We think of the man who's derelict, who's out of his mind because of drugs or drink. We think of people that are uneducated and perhaps unemployable. We think of those as needing the gospel, and that's true. They do. They absolutely do. But so does the college professor, and so does the police officer, and so does the politician, and so does the doctor and the lawyer and all other people. To be up and out is just as bad to be down and out. To be out is out, and that's fatal. It's the same difference. So we want to look today at the subject here of peace in a time of storm. We see so much of a contrast between what Paul is going through in his life, or not what he's going through, but how he responds to what he's going through in his life, and what these hardened soldiers and hardened sailors, their response to the same storm, both in the same storm, but such a different response. So we begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." We'll stop our reading there. Father, we thank you today for this book, Lord, for its encouragement, for its help, for the faith that it gives us. Lord, thank you that it has a cleaning property about it. You said that we're clean through the word that you've spoken unto us. We know we're challenged by it, Lord. In the beginning, we were quickened by it. And Father, we just pray that you'd use your word in the heart and life of everyone that's here today. Encourage us, Lord. Enforce your will upon our life. Help us to really see what it is, know what it is, know what we're supposed to do and how to do it. Give us liberty today. Work in our hearts and our lives. Bring about glory for yourself. I know, Lord, today there's several folk that are not feeling well. I pray you'd touch their bodies and make them well. You are still the great physician. We still count on you for great things. We love the medicines that you've given us, Lord, but we know that it's up to you to do things. The horse is prepared, Lord. The prescription is prepared, but health is of you. We understand that. And so we pray, Father, that you'd deliver us from illness and then help us, Lord, to use our health to glorify you. And then, Lord, if you choose not to, help us to use our illness to glorify you. And we'll praise you for every victory in Jesus' name. Amen. On the way to Rome, they experienced the storm that we read about. And in verse number 20, we see that there was neither sun nor stars had appeared in many days, and there was no small tempest was on them. And the Bible says that all hope was gone. And so here we see these people as hopeless people. We mentioned that last week and don't want to spend a lot of time there. But to be hopeless, what a tragic thing to be hopeless. I've seen several things of late, atrocities that have been portrayed against people. And I thought, boy, in the last moments of their life, how hopeless they must have thought, must have been, if they're not believers, not saved. And these people, thinking that they were going to die, they thought there was no hope. All hope that they would be rescued was gone. They were a hopeless people. And so the Apostle Paul, the Bible says in verse 21, after a long abstinence, the Apostle Paul is going to speak. Now, we have to learn, and I think it's a learning process, and some of us learned it slower in life than others perhaps have, but sometimes we have to know when to just be quiet, when to let God work and not say anything. When we add to the quiet that God has tried to produce in their life so they'll have time to think, God is a wonderful God in that He wants to create quiet so that we'll reason together with Him. We have space to think. And sometimes well-meaning people, and I mean that absolutely, sometimes well-meaning people disturb that peace. And the Apostle Paul, for a long time, I don't know how long, but a long abstinence, the Apostle Paul didn't say anything. He was quiet. In Psalms 46 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." So there's times when we're supposed to just be quiet. Now, sometimes we're quiet when we ought to speak. And then other times we speak when we ought to be quiet. So Paul does speak. So we have to know when not to be quiet. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 40, the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you the truth, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Here the Lord Jesus is speaking, and some people had said something, and they're trying to quiet them down. And the Lord Jesus tells them, if they were to be quiet, the stones themselves would cry out. So there's times when it's absolutely essential that we speak. You say, well, how do you know the difference? I think we have to be in tune with the Lord. It's so important as we walk through life that we are on an instant communication with the Lord. Like Peter was when he said, "Lord, save me." You remember when he was sinking in that deep water? He said, "Lord, save me." Immediately he was recognized by the Lord. His prayer was answered and Jesus caught him by the hand. They walked back to the ship together. We need to have that opportunity or that ability to cry out to God and be immediately heard. But we need to be willing to be heard. We need to be willing to put our head on the chopping block, so to speak. We need to be willing to be thought different and probably a little weird sometimes, but we need to know when to be quiet, but we also need to know when to speak. And sometimes there's people who are better at one than they are at the other, and you would know your own situation better than I, but we need to be able, when God says be quiet, we need to be quiet. When God says speak, we need to speak, and we need not to get them mixed up. And then so Paul, in verse number 21, says, "I told you so." Now, I don't know how he said that. I don't know what his frame of mind was when he said that. I know Paul is wanting to reach these people with the gospel. I know that he has a message for them. The angel of God has appeared to him, and he wants to share with him what the angel of God shared with him. He wants to share the word of God with people. But at the same time, the Bible says, "Sirs," that's polite, I think, "sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." You should have listened to me. You should have listened. And sometimes I think there's a time we ought to remind people, "We told you so. We told you so." In fact, there's some folk in Bethel Baptist Church that need to hear that. "We told you so. We told you so." Because their carelessness is going to cause them problems. It is causing them problems. And they need to hear, "We told you so." And the second verse of that is, "It ain't going to get no better if you don't change." If you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. And what you got is not what you want because you didn't do what you ought to have done, so you need to change something. And they need to hear that. But they need to hear it in love, and so pray that we'll do that. And then he talked about the gain that they had, but the gain was actually harm and loss. So here's actually a negative gain. That's kind of hard for my mind to understand. Verse number 22, he says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but for the ship." So in verse number 22, his encouragement is be of good cheer. Now here's the Apostle Paul in the same storm they're in, and they're falling apart. They're having a nervous breakdown. They know everything about sea life. And the Apostle Paul probably knows very little in comparison, and yet he's telling them be of good cheer. Now, I'm sure that some of these guys are probably saying, yeah, if you just knew what this storm means, if you just knew where we're headed, you wouldn't be saying that. But the Apostle Paul says to them, be of good cheer. And the reason, he says, because there shall no loss of any man's life. There should be no loss of any man's life. And that was a pretty good encouragement if they believed that. But you see, the truth doesn't help you if you don't believe it. If you don't respond to it, the truth is of no value to you. In fact, the truth will hurt you if you don't respond to it. Because God will use the truth to judge us, and the absence of our response to that will find us guilty of neglecting the truth. So the Apostle Paul tells him the truth, says, you need to understand, I've been promised that there'll be the loss of no man's life. But then he adds a but. Bad day to be the owner of the ship. Real bad day to be the owner of this ship. He said, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. And then in verse number 23, again, it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Because there stood by me this night the angel of God. And let me share this with you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's not a fair weather friend that disappears every time a cloud comes over. He's not with us in times of delight and away from us in times of disaster. He's there. And so the Apostle Paul said, in the midst of this storm, I had a very pleasant and a very present help from glory. And that was the angel of the Lord. And he said, he stood by me. He stood by me. What a wonderful thing to know that heaven is standing by you. It will change how you act. It'll change your responses if you remember that heaven is standing by you. And then he mentions, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, number one, whose I am. I'm sure the Apostle Paul's mind flooded back in a few years to a place called the road to Damascus, and when he met the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior and was born again. Whose I am. I hope tonight or today you can say that with all sincerity. Whose I am. And then secondly, he says, whom I serve. You see, if we belong to the Lord, we ought to be serving Him. I met yesterday a young man that I've witnessed to probably a dozen times, I suppose. At least that many times. And at first he didn't tell me he was saved. He didn't know for sure. Then later on, something, I don't know what happened, when, where, how, he began to pick up the jargon that he was saved and was serving the Lord and everything. So I asked him yesterday when he was going to go to church today, where he was going to go to church today. And he said, I'm not going to go to church tomorrow. I said, but you know you're saved. He said, yes, I am. I said, you're one of them welfare Christians. He said, excuse me? I said, a welfare Christian. You know what welfare is, don't you? I said, that's when you get handouts from the government, sometimes deserving, let me put that in, and sometimes not deserving. It's never deserving for three generations in a row, but sometimes deserving and sometimes not deserving. You know what welfare is? He said, yeah. He said, I detest that. And I said, well, why would you have your Christianity be that way then? Why would you take all the good? You're going to go to glory. You expect God to take care of you. You want Him to give you a job. You want Him to give you health. You want Him to make your car payment. But you won't go to Sunday school. Welfare Christian. He smiled and says, well, preacher, you always did have a way of saying things. I said, well, consider what I said. He said, I'll do that. And I'd be thrilled. You'd see me leap off this platform if he came to church this morning. Amen. Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. And somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to talk to people like that. So what did I do? Did I drive him away from Bethel Baptist Church? Been here 10 years. He's never been in the door. I don't think I heard anything. He'd heard the truth. He heard the truth. And we, again, just as we need to know when to speak, we need to know how to speak. And sometimes people need to hear it straight. They hear it straight on television, don't they? They hear it straight from the politicians, don't they? They hear it straight sometimes in the newspaper. They ought to hear it straight from the preacher. They ought to hear it straight from Christian friends. When Christian friends see their friends not serving God, they ought to be told that. I won't go into it much today, but in Hebrews chapter 10, there's three charges brought against a person who willfully neglects the assembly of themselves together with other of God's people. Three charges. Charges that God doesn't bring against a pedophile. For us to know to do good and not to do good is a terrible sin, the Bible says. And so we need to know not only that we're saved, but we need to serve the Lord. Verse number 24, this is what the angel was saying to him. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So the message was one of peace. God says, Paul, you're not here because of sin in your life. You're not here because of recklessness in your life. You're not here because I have deserted you. You're here as a part of the plan to get the gospel to Rome and to the uppity-ups there, the up-and-outers that are in Rome. You're here to help me. And so, Paul, as a result of that, you need to have peace. Understand you're exactly where God wants you to be. Exactly when God wants you to be there, with exactly the people God wants you to be with, and that ought to give you peace. I've mentioned this before, I say it again. My second daughter, when we were on our way to Austria, was asked the question one day, don't you have some fear or some anxiety, some concerns about going to Austria? You've never been there before, you don't know anything about it. Don't you have some concerns about that? And she said, well, yeah, there's from time to time I do. But I'd rather be anywhere in God's will as anywhere else out of God's will. And how we need to understand that. And so the message came to the Apostle Paul, fear not. Fear not. This is a message special for the child of God who belongs to God, who's serving God, who's where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to be doing, the absence of sin in his life, not that he's sinless, but that he's walking in the will of God. When God convicts him of something, he confesses it, gets it taken care of. Fear not. And then he said, you must be brought before Caesar. You must. Now, this is God telling him. You must. Now, this isn't Caesar telling him. This isn't Felix or Festus telling him. This is God telling him. You must be brought before Caesar. And so the Apostle Paul could have jumped up and pounded on his chest knowing that he was invincible, knowing that he was incredibly unconquerable until the Lord was finished with him and his work. And then he says to him a second time, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Boy, when Paul said that, I can hear people saying, I'm with Paul, I'm with Paul. Because all those that were with Paul were in a safe position. Verse number 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. That's the second time. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So, because I believe God. Now, here's the question. Do we believe God? Do we really believe it'll be how God says it's going to be? Some well-meaning Christians just don't believe that mama or daddy or son or daughter or grandma or grandpa could die and go to hell just because they didn't trust Jesus. I mean, they were always good. They paid their bills on time. They were good neighbors, good relative, good friend. Do we really believe God? And then, of course, to believe that God would use us and move upon our lives and be glorified with our lives, do we really believe God? Paul said, I believe it's going to be just like I was told. And, you know, today, let me say with great emphasis, I believe it'll be just like the Bible says. I believe it'll be just like what the Bible says. verse number 26, he says, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Upon a certain island. Not just any island. A certain island. In Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, how is God going to lead us and guide us and direct us? How does he want to do that? Psalms 119, verse number 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, this book will not only pilot you, but it will protect you. It will pilot you, and it will protect you. Job recognized such a need for the word of God. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed his word, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. And so how important is the word of God to us? We ought to consider that a little bit. Verses 27 through 29, we'll finish up with this. 14 nights, the Bible says. 14 nights. They had been fighting this storm. When you're in the storm, sometimes it seems like it can last a long time. A long time. And there's not much rest in this particular storm for those sailors, because the Bible says at midnight. Now, they don't have fog lights, searchlights, radar. They haven't had any boats out in front of them searching out things, but they begin to understand that they're drawing near to some country. They don't know what country it is, but there must be land up here somewhere. There has to be, and it's about midnight, so they're not resting much. They're searching and studying and wondering, not certain where they're at. So they find the water's getting shallower, from 20 down to 15 fathoms. Fathoms about 6 feet, so ropes up and down, up and down, up and down. Weights on the ropes, I assume. They didn't have sonar, so they were not measuring the depth that way, by measuring it with a rope and how many fathoms deep it was. But even this, as the water's getting shallower, it brings a new fear. Oh, man! Now we're in water that's shallow enough we could run onto the rocks! And so they go from one panic to another panic. From one panic to another panic. And they didn't pray. But the Bible says they cast out 4 anchors out of the stern, verse 29, and wished for the day. If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. Praying is a whole lot better than wishing. Oh, I wish. Oh, I wish. Prayer is a whole lot better. And so now they're struck with a new fear. We're going to run onto these rocks. We've got to stop. So they throw out 4 anchors, hoping that will hold them steady, not allow them to drift anywhere onto a pile of rock and ruin. And next week we'll see what happened with that. Father, we thank you again today that you love us and praise you for the word of God. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for the Spirit of God that bears witness to your word to our hearts. And Lord, thank you for the certainty we can have and the fact that you're going to fulfill all your word just exactly the way you said it, the way you meant it. And Lord, it doesn't matter if Congress likes it. It doesn't matter if kings and priests and princes like it. It doesn't matter if people like it. You're going to do what you said you're going to do. You're going to do it the way you said you're going to do it. We praise you for that. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you, Father, that you have the same desire for people in Maryland that you do in Colorado or Austria or any other place in the world. Thank you, Father, that once we're saved, we're to serve you. We belong to you. We're supposed to serve you. Help us, Lord, not to be welfare Christians. Help us, Lord, and I know, Lord, we'll never earn our keep. I understand that. And, Lord, that wasn't the intention to portray that. But, Lord, I know we're supposed to be busy. And it just seemed like, Lord, if we love you, it'd be easy to tell people about you. And so I pray we'd do that. Help us to love you, knowing you loved us first. And we'll thank you for a great day today. In Jesus' name, amen.